Welcome to the Grace Church Parent Team Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. We know that parenting is no small task, and it's normal to wonder if you're getting it right. As a parent, you are the primary discipler of your kids, and this podcast is here to come alongside you, offering parenting tips and biblical wisdom for the real-life challenges that come with raising kids from elementary to high school. Today, we've been in these conversations about how to raise kids who are involved in sports, and we have Nobles Darby on our podcast here today. So, Nobles, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, if you guys don't know who Nobles is, he is the FCA Metro Cleveland director and is also the chaplain for the Cleveland Browns and co-chaplain for the Cleveland Cavaliers and Cleveland Charges. And I actually got the chance to hear Nobles speak at an FCA event that we hosted at our Montrose location last month with our Copley and Revere high school students, which was a really powerful night, and it was great to have Nobles there, and I'm just excited for our parents to get to know you even more. And so I love Nobles. If you just wanted to start off and explain what your role is as a chaplain and explain what you do.
Yeah, no, Jocelyn, Mark, thank you all for having me on. You know, always a blessing to be able to speak into platforms like this and just talk about, you know, what God is doing. But to answer your question, a chaplain is really, and I've shared this on other platforms that I've been blessed to speak on, but it's the hands and feet, you know, of Jesus to professional sports teams and organizations. So someone like myself, you know, you're interacting daily with coaches, players, front office people, a staff that work throughout the building, and you're really just being available, you know, to minister to them in the ways that God leads. You know, one of the things that I've learned, I've been a co-chaplain now with the Cavs for 5 seasons. And I've been with both. I've been with the Charge for 4, and I'm in my 3rd year with the Browns. One of the things that I learned early on is that you can't force anything, right? You can't force relationships. You can't force conversation. You have to be strategic, but you also have to allow things to build organically. But you also want to be intentional. I'll give you a quick example. I remember my 1st year with the Browns, there were guys that, because you also have to separate from being a fan to now being someone that is walking alongside these guys and really trying to help grow them spiritually. And I remember in my 1st year with the Browns, you know, I'm not starstruck or anything like that, but it's not lost on me. Oh, man, I've watched these guys, you know, coming up in Cleveland. And so I would always make sure, all right, you know, if there was a guy that was walking through like the cafe area, I would position myself somewhere where it wouldn't be awkward or weird, but, you know, I could intentionally engage with them. And over time, that just built into organic moments, you know, in order for me to really begin to speak into the lives of these players and these coaches. What you realize very quickly is that they're just everyday, you know, human beings that are dealing with real life pressures, real life issues, and they don't want to be looked at through the lens of what they do, but they want to be spoken to through the lens of what it is they're trying to grow into and accomplish. And so God has just really created some awesome opportunities to engage with these men, to disciple them in one-on-one settings. I even had the opportunity to marry one of our players this past offseason. But I just really believe you have to do life with people before you speak life into people. And so as a chaplain, you're really just showing up every day looking for opportunities to do life with these group of individuals in order to share the gospel with them and just watch how the Holy Spirit transformed their lives. And I'm really blessed to serve in that way.
Yeah, I love that. I think what you said, like do life with people before you speak into people, is a really big deal. I think we miss that. And I mean, you get to work with people that people are seeing as examples they look up to and think that they're the greatest people of all time. And yet, like, you just see them as people that go through real things, have struggles and daily lives that are outside of even their job of sports. And so That's awesome. How long have you been a chaplain for? How long have you been doing that?
Yeah. So I've been a chaplain now with the Cavs 5 seasons. I'm in year 4 with the Charge and year 3 with the Browns. So I don't feel like I've been around a long time, but I feel like I've been around long enough, you know, in order to really understand, you know, what it takes to have any type of impact in this space. And you just touched on something that I want to hit on briefly. when you mentioned that, you know, these are guys that are just dealing with everyday real life issues, and sometimes that's easy to lose sight of. I remember last year I was at NBA Summer League in Las Vegas, and there was a group of our NBA chaplains that were having a private meeting, you know, with some individuals that worked in executive capacity with the NBA. And the NBA had just did a survey that polled the players, what are some of the biggest issues that you guys deal with away from the court? And surprising to all of us in that group, the number one issue that NBA athletes deal with is loneliness. And it makes sense after I heard it, because you have to think, these are guys that are playing in cities where more than likely they don't know anyone. They don't have any family there. They don't have friends there. They don't know who they can trust. And most of the times they're just trying to focus on playing basketball and making a living, you know. And then you juxtapose that with, I remember one of our guys on the Browns told me, you know, I was one of three people in his life that he knew would never ask him for anything. One of three people. And I had only known this guy for 2 years. And so, you know, these athletes, they deal with loneliness. They deal with trust issues. They deal with depression. They deal with, you know, the a lot of isolation, and sometimes don't want to lean into community. And so being aware, I always say this, what you know should influence how you serve. Right. So if I know these are things that these guys struggle with, you know, or for the parents that are here, if you know there are issues and pressures that your young athlete is struggling with, you know, all the time, things can't be fixed through X's and O's. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't need to be looking at the coach or looking at the clipboard. We really need to be asking the Lord to show us the heart, right, of what's going on with the athletes in our lives that can really help unpack and uncover a lot of the things we need to be prayerful about and the things we need to talk to God about as well. So those have been things that have really been helpful and impactful for me on my journey, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't always, I know from hearing a little bit about your story that you didn't always dream about being a chaplain. And I would love to hear if you could talk about a little bit about how God changed your life and how he got you to where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I tell people all the time, I would be lying if I said that I dreamt of life being this way, because probably until about 5 or 10 years ago, I didn't even know sports chaplaincy was a thing. You know, I knew about police chaplains, hospital chaplains, but I didn't know the opportunity to serve God in this capacity was available. But to make a very long story short, age of 13, you know, I'm growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. My grandparents were the pastors of the church that I attended. There was a special prayer service that we had that night. And my grandparents said, hey, if anybody wants special prayer, just come up to the altar. And so we're all in individual prayer groups. And I remember it's the first time I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it freaked me out. Like, I didn't know what it was, you know, but I just felt this overwhelming sensation, and this voice was just getting louder and louder in my ear. Go. Like, it was leading me to go up front to get prayer. So I go up front to get prayer, and as soon as I sit down in the chair, my grandparents, they look at me, then they look at each other and smile. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, what did I just get myself into? Why are they smiling like this? And my grandfather looks at me and he says, the Holy Spirit let me know you were going to be coming up for prayer. And so he asked me, he says, what is it that you want from God? And literally it just flew out. I said, I want to know what God's purpose is for my life. Now, that's a terrifying question, you know, to ask at any age, let alone the age of 13, because sometimes you're not going to like, you know, what's on the other side of that response. And so my grandfather gave me, you know, I think he said, go read 1 and 2 Samuel, which was also a heavy lift for a 13-year-old to try to read through all of that. And he said, come back in a few days and tell me what God says. And I went back, and give some context, I come from a family full of preachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, ministers. And so I knew, I was like, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Just don't make me preach. Like, I do not want to be a minister. But like the old saying goes, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? So I say that. And sure enough, God confirms he's called me to ministry. And so I go back, I tell my grandparents this. They're so excited. I'm terrified. So I run from this call for about 3 years. Because I just didn't want to, walk in that. I didn't want to serve God in that way. But after 3 years of running, you know, I ultimately said yes. And what's so interesting Jocelyn and Mark, is I was a three-sport athlete coming up, all while being a minister. And I was always the guy in our locker rooms, no matter what team I played for, being asked to pray for our teams before we ran out, you know, onto the field or onto the court to play. And so that happens. I get a full scholarship, you know, to Bowling Green. I think I'm about to play football, make it to the NFL. That same grandfather passes away 2 weeks into my freshman semester, and it just really rocks my entire world. So instead of leaning into my faith, I turn the opposite direction. You know, I start drinking, partying, you know, messing with a lot of different females on campus. And, you know, God really allowed that to be my wrecking point, where I lost that full scholarship after three semesters and I had a 1.06 GPA. So now I'm back home in Cleveland. I'm dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts. You know, my dream of playing football in the NFL is over, but life as I know it is over. And I'll never forget, there was a day that I was standing in the bathroom at my parents' home, and it was raining hard outside, and I'm crying, looking at myself in the mirror. I don't like who I've become, and I'm thinking about ending it all. But one of the last things my grandfather told me, the Lord allowed that to come back to my memory. He told me I would need God to make it through college, God to make it through life, and Jesus would have to be my foundation. So I'm hearing this voice in the midst of this bad storm outside, and I just drop to my knees right in that bathroom, and I rededicate my life to the Lord, and the weight of the world comes off my shoulders. The rain outside stops. The sun comes into the bathroom. And I really know that God's given me a second chance. And so, you know, as the story goes on, I enroll at Tri-C, transfer to Cleveland State. But I'm still praying and asking God to give me an opportunity, you know, to use my testimony to serve pro athletes. And lo and behold, I get introduced to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And through a lot of those relationships and connections, the Lord allowed me to connect with people within the Browns and the Cavs. And what's so cool, and this is just a total God thing, I said, man, even though I never made it to the NFL the way I wanted it to go, I still made it, but in the way God said I was going to be there after all. And so now I'm blessed to serve, you know, athletes at both the NFL and NBA levels, you know, because what I was doing at 16 really was preparing me for what God would have me do 20 years later. So it's all glory to God.
I love that. I always say that's one of my favorite parts of your story, is you always dreamed to be on the sideline. Now you get to be on a couple different sidelines, just not the way that you saw it coming, which is how God does this thing. It's just super
100%. And I don't wake up in nearly as much pain. My knees and shit, back, you know. So yeah, it's a lot easier on the body being on this side of it for sure.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, to hear how that process was for you and how it almost felt like you had it all and then you lost it and then had no idea what to do. And yet God met you in those places and almost in desperation and falling on your knees and saying like, God is real. And like, God, that's what I need. And I love something that you talked a lot about at this FCA event, tying into your story, is that you said like God will never prioritize the health of your success over the health of your soul. And so that's kind of, I think, what you were wrestling with, is that grades were doing bad, socially you were doing bad, like all these things that you thought you had it all, but it was falling apart. And so can you talk about that quote and just what you meant by how God wants to prioritize your soul over everything else?
Yeah. Now, you were listening that night. I love that you was able to shoot it back just how I gave it. No, I love that the Lord dropped that in my spirit one day, because I was looking at Mark 8:36, where it talks about, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose the one thing that matters most, his soul? And so there's this concept, you know, I've been working on, that it's some things that's going to come out in 2026, but this concept of souls over stats, right? Right. Because in sports, our stats are everything. You know, how many points did you score? How many yards did you run for? How many touchdowns did you score? How many yards did you pass for? Like, we put so much stock into these stats, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I even believe in Colossians 3:23. Especially as an athlete, you know, to work diligently at everything as though I was working to the Lord and not for man. But at the end of the day, if my pursuit of success in my sport comes at the expense of my pursuit for my growth and my relationship with Christ, then it was all for naught, you know, because at the end of the day, I can't take my stats with me. I can't take all the championship medals and trophies and MVPs. I can't take all my offer letters with me. And this generation in particular, you know, it's funny because these kids see themselves through their ranking. You know, like I'll never forget, I went to this this camp and a young man came up to me. He didn't even tell me his name. He introduced himself. Yeah, you know, I'm third in my class across the country. I said, hey, my man, but what's your name? Like, what are you in? But they put so much stock. And then in a lot of their minds, you can't tell them they're not going D1. You can't tell them they're not the best thing walking since LeBron James, right? They think they are him, you know, or her in their sport, you know, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, and I remember I shared this in a NBA chapel, I said, I know society and culture wants to, you know, push us to acknowledge I'm him, quote unquote. But I said, what if we flip that and acknowledge we are who we are because we serve him? Right. For those of us that are believers, you know, we should flip that. Right. Let's redeem that through the lens of scripture and say, man, listen, if it's in Christ that I live, I move and I have my being, he is the only reason I'm able to do what I do. And so that's really the concept behind, you know, God not prioritizing the health of our success over the health of our soul, because at the end of the day, all of this is going to one day come to an end. Right. And when we stand before the Lord Almighty, right, it would be such a shame that we never developed our relationship with God because we were so busy, you know, developing our skill and our craft and our sport at the expense of growing closer to Jesus, right? At the end of the day, we don't want to be like those that he talks about in scripture that says, well, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that, and we hear, depart from me, I never knew you. And so my prayer, especially for all of our parents listening, there's nothing wrong with your young athlete wanting to invest, you know, their full selves in their sport. But how much more? Even Paul says physical training is good, but training for godliness is so much better. It produces benefits in this life and the life to come, right? And so let's prioritize and overemphasize the need to grow spiritually, because when things are right in our lives vertically, then everything else makes sense horizontally.
That's awesome. Jocelyn, I got to ask him this now, because we know there's a lot of parents listening to this. So, you know, in these last few years, and as I've known you, you've had a big change in your life in terms of being a parent. So maybe so many great things just share point, but maybe talk about as Singo gets closer to playing more and more sports and doing what are you starting to think about when you think about all those identity challenges and all the things you just said? How are you starting to think about that as a parent?
Great question, man. Like you said, you know, my wife and I have been blessed, you know, with our first child. He actually turns 3 today. And so that's been awesome. You know, but also a little bittersweet, you know, because on a more personal note, you know, my dad passed this year in March. And so, but even in that, man, God is so faithful, because you come to realize a lot more characteristics in the nature of God when you go through certain seasons that, you know, other things couldn't have prepared you for or even taught you about who God is. And so, you know, in thinking about what you asked, man, you know, as I've learned and I've discovered more of God being a father, it's really helped me as I father my son, you know, to not look at him through the eyes of what I hope he becomes, but to look at him through the eyes of who God is creating him and molding him into being. And so for me, man, you know, when it comes to identity, right, because I was guilty of that at one point, you know, connecting so much of, you know, who I was and what I did to my sport. But I'll never forget, I heard Clark Kellogg say at an event I was at with him, you know, the biggest question athletes have to answer is, who are you away from your accomplishments? You know, and so, you know, for me, my wife and I both, you know, have really taken on the opportunity and the beautiful challenge to disciple our son, you know, at an early age. You know, the more Jesus we connect him to, the more scripture we connect him to and help him to understand who he is through who God has already said he is, I believe that's going to just influence whatever court, whatever field he shows up on. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's not so much about what dad, right, his earthly father wants for him. It's helping him to understand, hey, man, in everything that you do, understand this is a gift that God has given you, right? So this is, I put it like this. What I tell our athletes all the time is our gifts and our talents and our abilities is God's gift to us. How we utilize them is our gift back to him. And that's really what I'm trying to teach my son, right? You know, because he's doing stuff now. Like, I'll look up, you know, he'll be in the middle of the living room, you know, shooting the basketball from 20 feet and making it, like, which is like, whoa, like, you know, what is this kid doing, right? But in everything that we do, son, we always got to point it back to God. Because, we have the opportunity to display his glory in the earth to other people. So that's never something that should be taken lightly. So that's what I hope, you know, that my wife and I are doing with our son is helping him understand everything he does should always point people back to Jesus. And if he does that, then it was all worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah, because even you and your wife's plan for your son is going to be much different than what God's plan is. And so helping your son realize that God has something bigger and something greater for your life than even what we can figure out for ourselves, that we're just trying to point you to that. I really would love for you to talk about this. I know that there's some parents listening that maybe their kid is similar to you and has kind of gone through some of the same stuff that you have. And how would you encourage parents that feel like their kids have gone too far gone or have made so many mistakes and don't know how to disciple them in that?
Yeah. No, that's great. So I believe it really starts with the foundation. So, you know, for the parents that are on here, if you know that day in and day out, you are living faith, you know, in front of your children, you are sharing faith with your children, that foundation is being built, right? And I love, you know, the parable in Matthew 7 about the house built on solid rock versus the house built on sand, where Jesus says, if any man hears my words and follows them, he is wise, like a house built on rock. But if they hear them and they don't obey, they're like the house that's built on sand. And so I believe that, you know, for parents, it's important to help your children understand it's not enough to say you love God, right? Because something that I've learned in my own life is that God isn't after lip service. He's after heart posture, right? And so, you know, you can say, oh yeah, man, I love God. And it's funny because, you know, I talk to people all day, every day, and I'll ask them about their relationship with God. And more times than not, their answer is, yeah, I go to church. And like, going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to the doctor makes you healthy. Like, there are practical things that have to be done in order to help develop you in your walk with the Lord. And so, you know, I would just encourage parents that have children, you know, that are really struggling with navigating faith right now and just really helping them to understand, you know, hey, just like your parents' faith can't save you, right? Just because mom and dad or grandparents might be saved, that doesn't mean you're saved. You know, they have to make a conscious decision to want to do what Luke 9:23-24 tells us, to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow after Jesus. And sometimes, man, you know, kids think, man, I've done too much, you know, but this is why using scripture is so important, right? Scripture and testimony, right? Testimony is just allow someone to hear, you know, man, but listen to what God did in my life. And he still loved me. Like, he still wanted to save me. But then the Bible even teaches us in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And so sometimes a young person just needs to know, man, listen, even in the midst of everything you're doing right now, the challenges that you're having, like, it did not stop Jesus from going to the cross just for you, right? And when we connect them to that reality, right, it can really help open their minds, their hearts, and their spirits to really understanding there is a God that loves them past their mistakes. There is a God that loves them past their insecurities. There is a God that loves them past their struggles. And if they are willing to place faith in Jesus Christ, it does not absolve them of their struggles, but it does guarantee they now have someone helping them and coaching them in that fight, right? And always tie it back to sports. You know, that's what I love doing because that's the world that we live in. Man, listen, Jesus will be the best coach you ever had, right? You may not look like the coach you're playing for right now. You may not think he plays you enough. You may not think he understands fully and has all the right play calls. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the best coach you ever have. He will coach you to the championship that really matters, right? When it's all said and done, that is the one prize that we should all hope to gain. So if you're a parent that has a child that's just really struggling, you know, encourage them through your testimony, continue to show them through the word what God says about them and what he thinks about them. And ultimately, you know, do what scripture teaches, pray without ceasing, you know, continue to keep that child before the Lord so that he can continue to work on them and bring them to a place where, check this out, we are not the ones that determine what happens to the seed when it's planted, because some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So for the parents, I just want to lastly encourage you with this. You know, if you've planted that seed, man, just have faith that God is going to use others to water it. Maybe it's that game day coach. Maybe it's a child or a teammate of your child, you know, on that team that they're playing for. But trust that as you lay the foundation, God will continue to allow it to be strengthened. So don't give up. Don't lose faith. If there's any proof or evidence that God can work through the hearts of wavery children, you're listening to him right now.
Well, and you know what I think about, too? I'm always thinking about the parents listening, and I encourage, too, like some of the parents listening, hearing all this, they're in their own struggles, too, right? So it's like, you know, don't put the pressure on yourself, as you said. Let Jesus be that top shelf. And as parents, like, sometimes the best example you can give is to kind of get unstuck yourself and to take some steps. So, you know, that's why we say this whole thing about when the parent's healthy, everybody wins. That's what Grace is excited and passionate about. And it's not just about, you know, like you said, Noble, it's not just go to church, but there's all these other ways to work on your own marriages and parenting and all those things. So this is just like my encouragement to the parents listening too. Like, let Jesus do his thing with those seeds planted for your kids, but take the steps you might need to for your own faith. And we're always happy to come alongside that as well. So,
yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know you shared a little bit about closing remarks too, but is there anything else that you would like to encourage our game day and sports parents listening?
Yeah. Yeah. I would just encourage them with, you know, there's a quote from the late Reverend Billy Graham that says, a coach in 1 year will influence more people than the average person will in a lifetime. And I believe wholeheartedly that sports is the greatest platform of influence we have in society. And so I say all that to say, you know, you can really lean into sports as a way to make sure your child is exposed to the gospel, but discipleship starts at home. Right. So even though they're connected to, you know, a faith-based league, and I know they're around faith-based coaches, the greatest example of faith that a child should have is walking within the walls of their home every single day. And so as a parent to other parents, I would just encourage you all to continue to live faith in front of your children, to walk faith out in front of your children, to be an example of Christ and his power and what he can do in and through your life. Because again, faith was lived in front of me. And even when I fell off the cliff and hit, you know, well beyond rock bottom, it was that foundation and the example that was modeled to me, you know, by my family that really helped anchor me back in Christ. Now, there was still a decision that I had to make, but my parents never stopped praying for me. So parents, I just want to salute you for having your children a part of this league, but I want to encourage you to continue to be what Paul teaches, a living epistle read of men, right? To continue to be that example of faith in your home and watch the incredible things that God wants to do within the lives of not just your children, but yourself as well. So yeah, Jocelyn and Mark, thank y'all. This was awesome. I appreciate the opportunity to just speak into the lives of the game day community through this, and, you know, just praying that much fruit continues to come from you guys' ministry and what God has called you all to do through this platform as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're so grateful for the wisdom that you have and just the example that you are, and praying that it would reach parents, and praying for you and your ministry as you keep doing what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks so much for checking out and listening to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. We hope that this has been a helpful resource to you in the stage of parenting that you're in. Be sure to check out more episodes as we release them, and we'll see you next time.